The message was given by Brother Dennis Cooley in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, August 14, 2016. The title of the message is Serving God. Scripture verses are Exodus chapter 7, verse 16, chapter 5, verse 1 and 3, John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24.
We're here because we love you, and we're here because we want to serve you. Oh, thank you for this opportunity.
Right.
Oh, that we could be one with you, to feast with you, to enjoy you, to be filled with you, and to be constituted of you, that we could be your dwelling place on the earth. Lord, thank you for such a privilege. Thank you for choosing us, for saving us, for calling us. Oh Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you. Give ourselves to you for the building. Hallelujah. Well, I just got back last night from 9 of the 10 days of the Summer School of Truth.
Amen.
And we are having, and they're just finishing up this morning, a wonderful 10 days together on the two spirits. And I'd like to testify that the Lord really has been with us. And I want to thank you for all the prayers of all the churches. This is the first time we've had the summer school kind of consecutively without a break. We usually have a week in New Jersey and a week in New York. And this is the first time we've been together at a camp where the young people have been living together, and their room with the serving ones and the college students together is their small group. So they're staying together and they're eating together, and it has been really, really marvelous. And I think the highest the Lord has ever taken us in the summer school. On the fifth night, fifth or sixth night, we had the second of three special fellowships on the Lord's coming. And at the end of that time, we had 136 consecrate themselves in about 20 minutes, a half an hour at the end. And those consecrations were really precious. So we need to stand with our young people. And as they come back tonight, we need to stand with them, be with them, strengthen them to enjoy their mingled spirit.
Amen.
To enjoy the Lord and be built up with all the saints.
Right.
So we hope to see more of them here serving with us in the church meetings.
Serving God.
Hallelujah. Well, this morning or this week, we've been on the third message, reviewing the third message from the Exodus training on serving God. And serving God is a great matter in the Bible. We certainly can't cover it in this short time this morning. But according to a few of the things we saw in Exodus, we would like to review it with you all this morning. And I'd like to give you a few introductory verses before we touch the points we had in the morning ones this week. So the first one is, we can see in Matthew 4, 8 through 10. In Matthew 4, 8 through 10, after the Lord was baptized and he began to serve in his earthly ministry, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the third temptation was regarding the matter of worship. So these verses, let me read them to you. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship. Then Jesus said to him, go away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I was struck with these verses as I was preparing. Service is worship. This is really my point. Service is worship. Generally, we think we come to the Lord's table, we praise the Lord, we give thanks to him, and we worship him, sing to him, and pray to him. But when we think about service, this is my concept, I don't know about you, we think about doing something. We think about cleaning the meeting hall, mowing the lawn, or doing some maintenance, or serving the children, or cooking for the love feast. We think about doing things. And of course, service, there are practical services in the church life. But here, according to this verse, it's very clear, to worship is to serve. And to serve is to worship. This shows us that there is a struggle here. There is a primal struggle between God and Satan for man's worship, for man's service. There's not only a struggle over man's soul. I think we all realize this. There's a battle over our soul. Now that we're saved, Satan can't take that away, but he can damage our soul. And he can keep us from being transformed. He can slow down the Lord's coming by slowing down or trying to defeat the salvation of our soul. Anyway, it's not only a battle over our soul, it's really a battle over worship and over service. And this really struck me. You know, when I was growing up as a young Christian, I kind of thought, well, you know, like I can serve the Lord with one foot and go in the world with the other, you know. Have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom kind of thing. You know, this kind of idea. You can straddle it. I can do it. I'm Superman. I don't know, something. But eventually I realized the Bible is very clear. We have to choose whom to serve. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve the world and God. And to serve the world is to serve the devil. If we're not serving God, we are serving the devil. You may not, oh, I'm not serving the devil. Well, we have a lot of concepts about what serving is, right? About what worship is. But this is very clear. Even in Joshua 24, this is also clear. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now, therefore, this is at the end of the book of Joshua, when he's about to pass on to be with the Lord, and he left the children of Israel with this word. Now, therefore, fear Jehovah and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness, and put away the gods whom your fathers served across the river and in Egypt, and serve Jehovah. And if it seems wrong in your sight to serve Jehovah, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Either the gods from across the river, whom your fathers served, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. We have to choose whom to serve. And just as Joshua spoke to the children of Israel, the Lord needs to speak to us. Whom will you serve? This is a passage in Joshua concerning fearing God, right? Serving God, putting away all the other gods, small g. And we have to choose whom we will serve. Once we choose, we can never go back. We will serve Him for eternity. And I've been impressed by this over the years. Watchman Nee has a marvelous little, you know, a message, a chapter in the collected works, that our service is really in eternity. In eternity, we will serve. Now, we have to learn to serve. While we live on the earth in time, we're learning to serve. He puts it in this way. We're in an internship. Whether it's paid or not paid, but we're in an internship. And we're here learning to serve. How? By serving. We learn to serve by serving. So may we all make the choice that we will serve the Lord. And Deuteronomy 10:12 asks this of us. And now, O Israel, what does Jehovah your God ask of you? Except that you fear God, fear Jehovah your God, so that you would walk in all His ways, and love and serve Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul. I enjoyed this verse this week. We all know we should love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul. But this verse in Deuteronomy says, love and serve with all your heart. and with all your soul. This makes it clear. We were saved to serve. Hallelujah. We're not just saved to have eternal life. We are saved to serve. Service is the goal of our salvation. Now, there are four things I want to touch from these verses in Exodus, and then I hope that you will come and share what you've enjoyed from these verses this week in the book of Exodus. And the first is on the verses that we read from Exodus 7, 16, 5, 1, and 5, 3. And that is this point. Our service, our worship, is to hold a feast to the Lord. Again, our service is not just to do something. Our service is to hold a feast. So Moses told Pharaoh, and the Lord told Moses to tell Pharaoh this, right? Let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. And let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And eventually they said, the God of the Hebrews in 5:3 has met with us. Let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to Jehovah our God. So these things are all synonymous. Serving, holding a feast to the Lord, sacrificing to Him, offering to Him. And this is also, it's not a natural thought. We serve, it's to hold a feast. And in our service, those of us who are, many of us are serving in the church life, I think we realize if we're not enjoying, if we're not holding a feast to the Lord, our service becomes very difficult. Maybe it's not even service. Maybe we're just doing something out of ourselves. But our service should be a feast. We should enjoy the Lord as we serve. We should enjoy the Lord in His Word before we serve, while we serve, and after we serve. Our service should be a feast. And you know, it's a feast to God's satisfaction. He said, hold a feast to me, Lord. He wants this enjoyment. He enjoys it when you enjoy Him. He enjoys it when you feast Him. And we also enjoy it. When God is happy, we are happy.
Concentration.
And I think when we are happy enjoying, He is happy that we're enjoying. And that is the true worship. That is the true service, according to these principles in the book of Exodus. And along this point we had this week, the same day, these verses, John 4, 23 and 24, which we read. The true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truthfulness, right? And this point points out this point, that our feasting to the Lord is dispensational worship. Now this may be a different word or a new word to many of us. Of course, there are many dispensations in the Bible, but we're not talking so much about that, although that is true. In the New Testament, we are in the dispensation of grace. Mm-hmm. Our service is through and by the dispensing of the triune God into us. It's by God's dispensing of life into us. And so in John 4, when the Lord met the Samaritan woman, in that section, verse 14 says, if you drink of this water, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of water. That is the dispensing of the triune God as the river of water of life. Out from where? Out from our spirit. Out from our innermost being. When we believe in the Lord, we receive the life of God into our mingled, into our spirit, making our spirit a mingled spirit. And because we have the life of God, there is an overflow or an outflow of that life. When we enjoy that life, rivers of living water. And that is a real dispensational worship, a dispensational service. Our service is out of the enjoyment of the river of water of life. These are wonderful verses. So this is the first point, that our worship, our service is a feast to the Lord. Then, in Exodus 3:12, we have, and He said, surely I will be with you, And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God upon this mountain. And then in chapter 24, 10 and 11, we have these verses this week. And they, you know, Moses went up with the elders and the leaders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And under his feet there was something like a paved work of sapphire, even like heaven itself for clearness. And he did not stretch out his hand upon the nobles of the children of Israel, and they beheld God and ate and drank. He called them out of Egypt to travel 3 days' journey to worship him on the mountain. And this is the second point I enjoy. We must serve God according to the vision on the mountain. According to the pattern that Moses created on the mountain. We need a clear sky. We need a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we would spend time with the Lord where? On the mountain. But it means we need to get up out of the, you know, away from the world. Travel 3 days' journey. 3 days also signifies resurrection. Get into resurrection to see the vision and the pattern on the mountain. So as we serve the Lord, we must serve by the pattern we've seen, by the vision we've seen of God's eternal economy. That is our real service.
It is the tilted.
There's a note here on these verses in Exodus that I thought was very helpful. In a tranquil atmosphere and under a transparent and clear sky brought in by the blood of the covenant, Moses and the leaders of Israel entered into fellowship with God, in which they saw God.
You don't have to work today.
And it quotes Matthew 5:8, 2 Corinthians 3:18, which we have, we can read in a minute. It was in such a setting, in contrast to the setting in which the law was decreed, in Exodus 19, that God revealed to Moses the pattern of the tabernacle. To behold God and to eat and drink is to worship God with the worship that he desires. That's, of course, again, John 4:24. Let's look at those verses in Matthew 5:8. Do we have that? And 2 Corinthians.
For you?
Yeah.
3:18. Let's read these together. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 2 Corinthians 3.
Watch. With unveiled face, beholding and reflecting.
Thank you. Glory of the Lord. Be transformed. It's okay.
Nobody can hear.
Already can.
Amen. Sometimes I wonder, you know, well, you know, it says no one has ever seen God. Yet you find several places, you know, where they saw God. So the Lord knows when to reveal himself to man. Reveal himself to Moses and his companion. As his companion, it's very crucial. In Exodus 25, verses 8 to 9, when he was on the mountain, he told Moses, and let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. According to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of its furnishings, even so shall you make it. This is the pattern Moses.
Solomon is doing the verses.
And in the training we saw this. Yeah.
He's good.
He's good.
Yes, yes. Book of Exodus.
He's paying attention.
The children of Israel. They made all the pieces of the tabernacle. They made all the furnishings of the tabernacle. And Moses went through every piece by piece, to check it out. Kind of like an inspector of buildings, you know. You build a building, you have to have the inspector in. He has to check out the plumbing and the electrical and make sure everything is okay and give it the stamp of approval before you get the permit to use the building. Well, we kind of have that in Exodus chapter 40. Moses was the greatest inspector. He inspected all the furnishings. And, you know, ark.
One
lid over the ark. And the incense altar, the lampstand, the table, and of course, brazen altar, all the furnishings. and even the standing boards and the
bank.
Coverings of the altar. And eventually he approved that. He said, okay, now let's build it.
It's,
and they built it. They built
it's
it.
A shepherd's
the
baby.
Glory of Jehovah. God himself came and dwelt in that tower.
What is diamond?
Diamond.
Something.
It says in that verse,
I think
she
used it to buy other balls.
Yeah.
And we had a marvelous time in training seeing that. And I was just very impressed by that. You know, God had his heart's desire in the Old Testament there. He was dwelling with man there. And his presence was there. His glory was filling the tabernacle. Of course, we know the history of the children of Israel. They didn't have it for that long a time. But they had it. They had it as a type, as a picture of what God is really after. He is after a dwelling place on the earth today. He wants a dwelling place with man today.
Just rolling.
Rolling?
Just rolling.
That's the name of it, just rolling.
Yeah, we're just
he wants a
right?
dwelling place with man today.
Amen.
That's a little better. Amen! He wants to dwell in us and with us.
Right.
He wants to be with us and among us. That is the vision we've seen, right? The greatest prophecy in Matthew 16, Christ said, on this revelation, I will build my church. And we are here to serve the Lord for the building up of our
She's
service
so
must have this view. We must
she
be checked. Here serving and worshiping God for the building. And our service, you'll see in a few minutes, our service is the building. The priesthood is the building. So these are not separate things. Of course, in the Old Testament, you know, they were building the tabernacle. Eventually, God dwelt there. But in the New Testament, it's not physical. We are being built. We are the materials being built into God's dwelling. But the principle here is that we must serve by the vision. So in Ephesians 3, 4, 5, Paul gives us this revelation, right? By which in reading it, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, by which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in spirit. And then in chapter 2, verse 20 of Ephesians, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. Hallelujah! We can be here serving, and we must be here serving, according to the vision that God has given us.
I'm telling you, but that's just
according
to skin forever.
The pattern.
I don't like
the
games. I need skill games. This is not skill. This is just like.
And we have such a vision.
This is not a skill game.
On the earth today. Even ask us to pray.
64.
To pray for the kingdom to come today on earth as it is in heaven.
Concentrate.
So we need to be those serving in our spirit with this kind of view, with this kind of vision. So that is the second thing I enjoyed. The third thing I enjoyed is that we need the blood to serve. We can't serve in ourselves. We're still very natural, we're still fallen beings, and we still have sin. So in Exodus 24:8, Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, here is the blood of the covenant which Jehovah has made with you in accordance with these words. So in the Old Testament, their service was not without the blood. They served with the blood of the covenant. In Hebrews 9:14, which is one of the main verses we have this week, let's read that together. How much more will the blood of Christ?
They have your own game. Stop.
From dead works to serve the living God, we need a purified heart.
Oh, really? Yeah. You know, should they control it to the max?
We in the summer school, of course, we're on the two spirits, so we spent a lot of time with the young people related to this major function of our spirit, which is our conscience. We must have a blood-purified conscience, which means we need to have the habit and the practice as we come to the Lord. Whenever we sense there's any distance, whenever we sense there's some sin in the way, the Lord will remind us, we should immediately agree. That's right. That is our confession. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous
to forgive our sins
and cleanse us from all
unrighteousness.
For us to serve the Lord,
writing verses,
to worship the Lord, to sacrifice to the Lord, we must have purified. Purified from dead works to serve the living God. Praise the Lord, we're serving the living God. And we have the blood, we have the way to serve the living God. And in this point in the training, it also mentions that our service also must have the source, the proper source. We're not serving from ourselves. In the type, priests who offer the incense, serve God through prayer, the incense altar. They must take the fire from the brazen altar and use that fire to burn the incense at the incense altar. And of course there's this, not just a picture, it really happened, but you know, there were priests that used their own fire, strange fire, to burn incense, and the Lord did not only not accept that, He killed them. That was a serious thing. Serve with strange fire, which is a picture to us and a warning to us that our service must be from the fire that is from God. It must be from the life of God. It must generate from God. All our service should come out of God. And we should take God as the source of our service. So praise the Lord, we have the blood of the covenant. We also have the fire that is from God, that our service may be acceptable. Our service may be pure, and we can serve with a purified conscience. We can serve the living God. Praise the Lord. And then the fourth point, probably the last point that I want to cover with you, is in Exodus 19:6, and it comes to these verses in 1 Peter 2. Let me read 19:6 to you, and then I want us all to read 1 Peter verses. Exodus 19:6 says, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These words shall you speak to the children of Israel." And 1 Peter 2:5 and 9, let's read those together. "You yourselves also, living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people acquired for possession." Hallelujah. God's building is the desire of His heart. And it's the goal of God's salvation. He needs a building. He wants to build a church. The Lord wants a kingdom of priests. He wants all of us to be priests. And in the New Testament, everyone who is saved is a priest. All the believers are priests. But we need to be a priest. His desire is not individual. His desire is a kingdom, a building together. And for the building of the church, it's a very precious that our being built together as we serve together is the priesthood.
So when
we don't serve alone, we serve another. We We have a service group.
You just click on the link.
Maybe several groups together, sir. We serve with others, and we're being built together.
After this is done.
Even in your small group meeting, you're being built up together.
Everything else.
There is a priesthood being formed and being built. And for that, we serve.
You just keep clicking, okay.
I don't know if this is too much to say, but it seems to be.
The only thing he needs to do is.
We're not serving. I have a question about the angel.
Or.
Because building is in service of the priesthood. Eventually, the building is the priesthood.
Too hard?
Joshua, the other?
The book of Peter. Peter was clear about the building church. The Lord spoke that to Peter.
The only thing.
But he doesn't use the word church. He uses the priesthood.
This.
He uses the kingdom of priests. And he says, we are being built together, right? As living stones. We're being built up into a spiritual house. That is the church.
Okay.
That's a Korean.
Into a holy priesthood. That is the church. So brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage all of you who are serving. You are building.
Okay.
You are building the church. And those of you who may not be serving, I want to encourage you. Get into a service group. You don't know what, ask the brothers and sisters around you.
Well,
find a place to serve. Get into the service. My experience is the service saves.
It should be there.
It saved me in the past. It's saving me now, and it's continuing to save me. If I'm not serving with you brothers and sisters, I don't know where I would be. I remember one time. Well, you know, and I'm not trying to, you know, like, glorify, what do you call it? You know, the good old days.
Oh, yes. You're telling me you have.
What's that term you use? No, well, anyway, you know, I don't want to be, like, uplift. Earlier days, but when I came into the church, it was only about 80 or 90 of us at that time. You know. When I came in, right away, they just told me, okay, Dennis, you're on main. They didn't ask me, you want to serve? They just told me, you're on main. Okay, what's that? I don't know. Just come Saturday morning, you'll find out. Okay, so Saturday morning, you know, we'd mow the lawn, we'd rake the leaves, we would, you know, we had a project eventually to paint the exterior of Dutton House. And I remember one time, I was serving, it was in the fall. I came into the church like in the fall. And so I know I've probably only been here about a month. And I lived in Manhattan. So I would travel out here to Queens, you know, which is only about 17 miles or so. But you know, on a Friday night, it takes an hour and a half. 17 miles. So, you know, I would come to meetings on Saturday morning. I would come Friday night, usually stay at Dunn House, and then serve in the morning. So we're raking the leaves, actually out here in the front. And I was not holding a feast to Jerusalem. I was not in my spirit. I was just there, the rake in my hand, raking the leaves. And I was thinking, I'm not a young man, single living in Manhattan. If you live in Manhattan, I came to New York and moved to Manhattan. I had a job in Manhattan. So, you know, Queens is like a foreign country, you know, to most of them. It's just weird. You're in Queens, okay? So I'm in Queens. I'm raking leaves. In Manhattan, you don't rake the leaves. There are no leaves in Manhattan. So, anyway, raking leaves there, and I'm thinking, man, what are you doing here? It's Saturday morning, 9:15 in the morning. You were raking leaves. And I said, I'm out of here. And just at that moment, a brother, some of you know, dear brother, Jeff West, came up to me. And I don't remember quite, I think he gave me a verse or something, or just, you know, some little encouragement somehow. Gave me a little verse and encouraged me somehow. That and little contact turned me to my spirit. And all of a sudden, I'm raking leaves saying, praise the Lord, it's so good to rake leaves here in Queens. I was feasting. It wasn't something to do. I was in another realm. And that's where we all need to
bring it downstairs.
We need to be in another realm. We need to be on the mountain.
And then you see that
we need to have this vision. We need to be seeing God. Do we read 2 Corinthians? I don't remember. We need to be beholding and reflecting the Lord as a mirror. Right? When we do that, we're being transformed. We're being changed from one degree of glory to another. What does that mean? That means we're being built into the priesthood.
Yes.
We're being knit together in this marvelous realm, in this feasting realm. You know, let my people go is a famous phrase from the Bible, used by famous people for freedom. But God's intention was not merely to free them from the slavery of Pharaoh. Yes, he had to free them. And it's good to be free. We need to be free. But that wasn't God's goal, just to free them from Satan's tyranny. God's goal was a priesthood. God's goal was his building. He freed them to travel 3 days' journey, to hold a feast to him, to see the vision on the mountain of his dwelling place, and to build that tabernacle. And eventually, to come down when that was finished, according to the pattern, according to all that he had said, to finish that. And brothers and sisters, that's what we need to do.
Yes.
We need to be freed from the world, from the tyranny of the world. And the tyranny of the world is not just, you know, something outward, Satan's, you know, tyranny, Pharaoh's tyranny. The self can be our prison. The natural man can be our natural mind can be our trap, can be our Pharaoh. We need to be free from all of that, even day by day, and travel 3 days' journey. What does that mean? Travel from, what am I doing here, to, oh, I'd love to read these leaders. We need to make that travel into the Spirit, into resurrection, so that we can be here building the house of God. That is the Lord's desire. So may we all enter into more experiences. More experience of being built together. More experience of serving together. You know, we're going to have a new meeting hall in Flushing. There'll be a lot of opportunities for the saints in Flushing to serve, but also maybe more opportunity for us to serve. Some of you here may go there to help. So we need to step up. And I hope that all of you who are serving in service groups would consider, pray, and ask the Lord to give you some of the high schoolers to serve with you. I know it's not so easy. They don't always come on time. They don't always come to the service meeting. And some of us feel like, oh, it's too much trouble. I've got to take care of these third graders, and now I've got this 10th grader who's just as much trouble as the third graders. Well, that's very short-sighted. Very short-sighted. We need to bring all of the young people. You know, one of the main ways for the young people to feel this is my church is to be brought into the service. When they start to serve and they realize they're needed, by that I mean not just, you know, take the kids to the bathroom, not just to do the snack, but when they're needed to serve in the cleaning and the maintenance and the children's meeting and the nursery, when they feel they're needed and they're important, then they just feel like, this is my church. They're brought in. And we need to help them come in. We need to help them bring in the next generation to serve. So may the Lord have mercy on us, that we would be those serving. It has
not bad. Not bad.
Oh, the meeting ends.
Want to stop?
Brother Ed, sharing?
Don't worry.
Yeah.
I was supposed to share today, but I've been sick. But what impressed me in Exodus is the clear picture of our salvation. When we consider that, like we sang, The Lord is our Savior, and how He has saved us. I think we usually think, well, He saved us from the world.
So that only thing we have
gave us His life. And whatever.
Yeah.
Well, in Exodus, it is very, very clear. When the Lord called Moses, what did He tell Moses? At the very end, in chapter 3 of Exodus 3:12. And He said, surely I will be with you, and this shall be the sign that for you that I have sent you, when you have brought the people out of Egypt. Doesn't say they'll be saved from the world. Doesn't say that they will be separated unto me. You will serve God upon this mountain. So, well, the point here is that our salvation is for us to serve. Now, clearly, Exodus is a picture of our salvation. First of all, we have the lamb that was offered, and the door was full of the blood, so that the angel would pass over. The Passover is a picture of our salvation. Indeed, it tells us there was a lamb for each house. The salvation is for our house. But then, when they left Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea. That indeed is a picture of baptism and being saved from the world. And then they were in the wilderness. The wilderness is a picture of our sanctification. You had nothing but God. But that's not the goal. That's not the aim. That's not the purpose. So, sorry, I feel to be faithful with the Lord, I have to be very direct. If you are saved and you're not serving, you need to consider before the Lord. Your salvation is aimless, is purposeless. Sorry, please forgive me, but I have this burden from the Lord. May all of us be serving!
Let's have a few prayers and then we'll set up the mics.